For the last segment of our program, Dr. Rowan Chablowski discusses a theoretical case scenario I presented to him with a number of variations. To begin, we discuss an older woman with a HER2-positive tumor. This patient is a 70-year-old woman who looks much younger than 70, really very active, retired school teacher, lives with her husband, they travel all the time, a typical super healthy, super athletic retirees. This lady goes for a routine mammogram after having had a number of mammograms over the years and is found to have an abnormality. One thing leads to another. Bottom line, she has breast conservation and a sentinel node, and it turns out that she has a 1 centimeter ERPR negative, HER2 positive infiltrating ductal cancer. 3 sentinel lymph nodes are negative. So I want you to talk a little bit about how you would think through adjuvant therapy in this situation.
As a physician, I'm interacting with this younger than appearing very active woman who's found out that she has a relatively low stage, 1 centimeter, 3 lymph node, sentinel node negative cancer, but one that is negative for estrogen and progesterone receptors and positive for HER2 overexpression.
And let me just add one more sort of flavor to this, which is a couple of her friends have gotten chemotherapy for breast cancer and wasn't a very pleasant experience. And she knows that's going to be something you might consider. Not too happy about it, but if she has to have it, she'll do it. But if she could avoid it, she would love to avoid it.
Yes. So this is an interesting case because it gives us a little bit of dichotomy. Just a few years ago, this person would be considered a low-risk patient and would be actually on some guidelines. Even today, would be considered somebody who wouldn't need any adjuvant therapy. You know, if you just look at the guidelines of maybe 3 years ago before the HER2 data. So this is someone who's going from no therapy being recommended, telling the person that they're at relatively favorable outcome status. And, you know, we'd look at 1 centimeter tumor. We'd say, well, without doing the calculations, maybe 10 to 12% 10-year recurrence risk. And we increase it 50% now for the HER2, and now we're talking 15 to 20% recurrence risk.
You know, it's true, you're right. When I think about it, I think it was just the 2000 NIH consensus conference on early breast cancer where they sort of came up with this 1 centimeter bar for maybe considering chemotherapy. That was just a few years ago.
Yeah, and even now in the NCCN guideline, it still is 1 centimeter if you wouldn't have HER2 overexpression, which seems, of course, to myself and maybe some other clinicians is kind of a high bar for my basis of discussions with women. So it gets down to what do we have for this kind of woman? And it gets us very quickly to the point where we are now at a place where we have options to be considered, but no data. So one thing that you could consider now that you have, but no data in adjuvant, is hormonal therapy plus Herceptin.
Now, she was ER negative.
Oh, ER negative. I'm sorry. Okay. So the issue is without the HER2 positivity, she might be a candidate for which some physicians would not offer chemotherapy, but I would discuss it with the patient in any case. Now, with this HER2 positivity, I think we just tell her that you have this moderately high risk of recurrence. A 70-year-old with a life expectancy is going to be considerable, maybe 15 years, something like that. Could say that you have a, you know, maybe 1 in 5, 1 in 6 chance of having a recurrence, which will take years, but as we understand now represents an incurable condition. And we have a therapy that can reduce risk of recurrence by 50%, adding the Herceptin to it.
You know, one of the things about this case I tried to structure deliberately is the question of how does age impact competing causes of mortality that you have to consider? And at what age, even if a patient appears to be healthy, would you expect their survival to be so limited that maybe you wouldn't even be worrying about a cancer? Is there an age that sort of pops in your head in that regard?
Yeah, there is. And we know that the older you get, the less benefit you get from the therapy, just because actuarially competing causes of death, regardless of your current condition, you know, play a bigger role. And certainly in the 80s, it's about 50-50 chance of dying. The oncology standard had been like 65 for these trials. And I think it just seems the times have passed that cutoff. I mean, 65-year-olds in the old days put themselves at chair rest pretty much. But now I see in many oncologists, see many people just like the patient you're describing here who are fully active and wouldn't consider taking a lesser therapy on that basis. So I think for me, 80 becomes the age where I start to consider different options or say that since you're going to get half as much benefit, is this worthwhile to offer to you?
Now I'm going to throw in another variable here, which is we'll say that she's had well-controlled hypertension for the last 10 years. Other than that, no other types of medical problems. If this woman were to sit down with you and say, okay, what is my chance of developing a cancer relapse if I do nothing? And how will that be changed by various options? What kind of numbers would you throw out at her?
Yeah, I would probably start with a number of around 15% for her recurrence risk and say that with chemotherapy of some kind together with Herceptin, and maybe we would be able to reduce it by about half. So, you know, kind of 7%, one in what, I don't know, 8 or 9 chance of developing a fatal disease, and probably the next 5 years for most people with HER2 overexpressing tumors.